Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters, this time coming from Jerusalem and titled Iran's S-300s. Thongs can only get worse. Remember 300, the Thongs and Sandals film about Sparta holding back the Persian hordes? Well, this week the Persians learnt from history and allegedly got their own 300s in a bid to hold back the hordes of American and or Israeli warplanes, which may one day be heading their way. The S-300 is the world's most potent air defence system. It's reputed to be able to track 100 targets at 100 miles distance simultaneously. Tehran claims it now has four S-300s, two bought from Belarus, two from elsewhere. Now, this is unconfirmed, and they've left it unclear whether they mean four missiles or four batteries of missiles. Either way, if true, they now have the technology to knock several enemy jets out of the skies before their air defences are obliterated. This is intended to make any attacker think twice. Well, those potential attackers, defenders, indeed everyone in the region and beyond who's got a stake in this, is thinking pretty hard about this subject. On Friday, the British Prime Minister David Cameron made a speech in which he said, quote, "And the fact that Iran has got a nuclear weapon..." Well, a slip of the tongue, said Downing Street quickly, and they probably haven't got one, but they're pretty close, and his quotes show that he's in no doubt that the Iranians are building one. His intelligence services certainly believe so, and they're involved in the debate about what to do. There is a line of thinking that the cost of stopping Iran militarily is too great, and so we must learn to cope with a nuclear-armed Iran. After all, goes the argument, they wouldn't be mad enough to use their nuclear weapons. But history, especially in the Middle East, shows us that dictatorial regimes are forever jumping off cliffs. Egypt jumped in 1967 and was smashed to pieces. Saddam's Iraq could hardly see a precipice without feeling compelled to leap, the occupation of Kuwait being a case in point. Many Israelis, and they understand religion better than Western countries, are persuaded that Iran has a religious leadership which subscribes to the radical Shia Muslim view that the world would be a better place by ushering in a Holocaust which would bring about the return of the 12th hidden Imam. To refresh your memory, the 12th Imam is held by devout Shias to be a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. He went into hiding or occlusion about 1,000 years ago and he hasn't been seen since. The troubling thing is that he'll only come back after a period of cosmic chaos akin to the Christian apocalypse. The good news is that after that there'll be an era of world peace. Now, given their experience of Holocaust, the Israelis fear that the Iranian mullahs would peer into the abyss and find the view quite attractive. A second and more prevalent line of thinking in Western capitals says that the upcoming negotiations with Iran have a good chance of working. But there's an excellent Associated Press journalist, George Jahn, in Vienna, and he's just got hold of letters that Tehran has sent to top international officials. They suggest that any progress there is pretty unlikely. One letter calls the EU's offer to resume talks, made a day after the UN passed a fourth set of sanctions, astonishing, and went on to say about the sanctions, "This kind of behaviour is absolutely unacceptable." Another letter describes Western demands as irrational conditions. The talks, which have dragged on for years, will be given a chance, but the longer they go on, and the more uranium Iran riches, the more the third line of thinking will come to the fore. And that is 300s or no 300s. The military option is the best one. The hawkish view is summed up in the phrase, "The only thing worse than bombing Iran is an Iranian bomb." The dovish view says, "The only thing worse than an Iranian bomb is bombing Iran." So it's lose-lose, unless diplomacy works. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.